They were called the Old Believers. They'd split from the powerful Russian Orthodox Church and were forced to uproot themselves to Siberia, where their customs survived in isolation. Centuries later, records of their music touched a young student studying manuscripts in Germany, who returned to the University of Chicago and initiated a new choir with a startling sound, Golosa. Golosa will perform in Kalamazoo this month in the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music, 2 weeks from tonight at St. Luke's Episcopal Church. In a few minutes, we'll meet one of the singers of Golosa, Anais Ahmed, an undergraduate at the University of Chicago. But first, we'll get a taste for the sound of Golosa and music from their Russian folk repertoire. Music of the Russian folk choir Golosa from their album Until Bright Day. A concert by Golosa is one of the featured events this coming month for the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music. Now let's meet Anais Ahmed, a new recruit to Golosa.
I'm from an Indian background, specifically Bangladeshi, so I've been singing Bangladeshi folk songs since I was fairly young. And just 2 years ago, I started to pick up the accordion just on my own. And so my first week of college, I saw a flyer for this Russian folk choir. And I know Russian music uses a lot of accordions. I had encountered some while learning to play the accordion. So I figured it might be fun to join the choir. I wasn't really expecting a lot, but I figured it might be fun.
So you are participating in the choir as an instrumentalist, or do you also sing?
I sing in the choir. I do not play accordion in the choir.
Oh, too bad. I love accordion.
We do have an accordionist. Our choir director, Tammy, does play the accordion for some of our songs.
There was a folk connection. What else drew you in? What about the music was exciting for you?
You know, I had never actually realized that such a musical tradition existed. I'd always been vaguely familiar with sort of the more famous Russian songs. You know, I listened to a lot of the Red Army Choir, so I listened to like the polkas and the big military guys singing. But when I found out about the choir and I started listening to the recordings, it was just something almost otherworldly. I mean, these guys were all singing in Russian, which I was used to, but they were singing songs unlike any other Russian music I had ever heard, or really unlike any other music that I had ever heard. And that's part of what drew me into the choir.
How often does Golosa meet, and what kind of demographic would you find in this choir?
We meet Wednesday nights in the evenings from 7 to 9, so, you know, once a week. We're affiliated with the University of Chicago, and I'd say we're about one-third UChicago undergrads, and then the rest of us are either grad students or community members, some of us alums of the University of Chicago, some of us never affiliated with the university. The oldest person in the choir is probably in his late 40s, which is weird for me, because that's as old as my parents. And then I'm the youngest person in the choir. I'm 18. We really draw all kinds.
Well, isn't the music based on the traditions of the old believers?
It is indeed.
You'll have to take it up from there, because I don't know anything else about the old believers.
In the, I believe it was the 1600s, there was a schism in the Russian Orthodox Church. It was things that seemed to us, I guess, very small, like doing a certain salute with two fingers instead of three fingers, and just new interpretations of the text. But this caused a big schism in the church, and the guys who did not want to modernize their traditions with the rest of the Orthodox Church were known as the Old Believers. And so they were sent packing, first to Poland and the Ukraine. And so some of our songs have that sort of influence. And then when Catherine the Great came to power, she sent them packing the other way, to Siberia. So they had to walk all the way from Poland to Siberia. And so their music is really, due to this isolation from the rest of Russian music, is pretty different. They're very polyphonic, and a lot of the polyphonies are very dissonant. You get major seconds, even get minor seconds. One of our songs includes an A, B, C, D, E, F chord, which sounds in isolation really dissonant, but it works in context.
That is fascinating, to have such a really a complicated chord when everyone has to sing almost a different note.
Indeed. Yeah, a lot of these songs have like seven or eight parts. Some of them just branch off at random times in the song. It's because when we collected these songs, a lot of these musicians would just improvise a part just on their own. And so all our transcriptions have like seven or eight parts just because someone wanted to improvise a new part.
So you are able to access some music on the page for this. It's not all learned by ear, as it was probably passed down that way?
Yeah. Most of our songs now are transcribed.
Do you do any ear work with the choir?
Some of our songs, actually, we haven't got transcriptions for yet. And so you usually just learn them by ear. But most of them nowadays are sight read. And then sometimes, quite often, actually, someone will improvise a part, just like they did back in the day.
What is the kind of voice you might need to have to be in this choir?
You gotta have a very big voice. You gotta have a pretty big voice. That's one thing that they really selected for, at least when I auditioned. And you gotta have a very bright voice as well. The particular thing about Siberian vocal production is they have a technique which involves raising the larynx. So you sound kind of nasalized almost, as though you're trying to imitate a child. I don't know how well it'll carry here, but it's like from going from sounding like this to sounding like this. Or I guess that's a little too nasal, but like this, somehow like this. Yeah, like that.
Oh, I can hear a difference. So there's a different sound production. I'm drawn to the sound because it sounds like you get to sing out. You get to be free. You don't have to focus on some sort of proper classical sound. You could join it and really let go.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I really like about the choir as well. I know a lot of people in the choir have had some sort of classical background, and our choir director always emphasizes sort of detaching oneself from that background.
What does it feel like when you're at one of those moments in a piece of music and everybody is singing at full volume. What does that feel like to be in the choir?
It's really quite the feeling. It's like you can hear the air almost vibrating around you with everybody's voice, you know, and it's, you know, it kind of makes your hair stand on end. It gives you goosebumps, you know?
Yeah, a great feeling, sounds like.
It is.
So when you're polishing things and practicing, what are some of the things you do have to work on to make the performance come over as best you can?
One of the biggest aspects I know is pronunciation, because only one of us, I believe, is a native Russian speaker. And a lot of the things about the Russian sound system can be really challenging for native speakers of English. And sometimes we get Russians in the audience, and they'll be quick to call out if our performance does not sound like real Russian, you know?
Oh my.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure they also love the fact that they can come and see Golosa here in the United States, in Chicago, or in this case, in Kalamazoo, and enjoy music they might not have heard for a long time.
Indeed. A lot of the songs actually are pretty unfamiliar to a lot of Russians as well, because the Old Believers have been in isolation for so long. But some of our songs are more well-known, and these songs are definitely favorites among the Russians.
Do you study Russian culture as an addition to your work in Golosa? Has being part of this choir added to your curiosity about Russia, the language, the people, the tradition?
Not at a formal level. I don't take Russian at the school, but I do learn Russian sort of informally. I have a lot of friends who are taking the language and a couple of friends who speak the language. And it's fun to speak with them. It's a really interesting language. And I feel like it's really opened up the songs for me a little bit more, actually understanding what they're saying, not as just reading the English translation, but understanding the Russian words themselves.
Well, tell me about the program that you might perform in Kalamazoo. What kinds of songs, what do they talk about in the words?
Let's see, we are singing at a sacred music fest, I believe. So one of the songs, Munishaya Bratya in Russian, talks about two brothers who are poor and are seeking redemption from Christ. Another one of our works, Ogoremya Greshniku, is the singer himself seeking for redemption as a sinner. The title literally means, "A woe unto me, a sinner." But other songs that we're singing are happier. You know, there's Sitya Kori, another religious song, which is just, Sitya Kori, I believe, is just calling, exalting the choirs of God. And in addition, we're performing a number of secular works as well. One of our favorite works is a work called Rabina, about two lovers, one of whom asks the other to marry her. And the man, of course, says no.
I love the way these Russian words are trilling off your tongue. It sounds wonderfully exotic.
It's difficult to get the Russian pronunciation right at first, but I think I've managed it.
Well, congratulations, Anais. I think that's really neat that, you know, as a young person like yourself, you've taken up with a choir that has opened up all of these new avenues for you.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun.